Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for everybody. So everybody tune in. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, to everybody. There is, you are listening to DJ Butterfly Feces here along with Organic OK.
Yeah, this is Kamina Organic OK.
And this is Kakuna, and this is Kakuna from the microphone here. It's it is 9 o'clock on the dot. The show is brought to you by Organic OK himself here. And please get involved with the cause. You know, you can be on the radio. Let your voice be heard. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Now, good people, one and all. Okay, I tell you what. Wrap a little bit before we start today's show. Go ahead.
Wrap. All right. I like those things out there. I like the rapping part. People always told me, hey, man, you need to rap because you're talking so fast. You be saying things in a way that needs to be. I've been hearing this for 14 years. You need to rap because you talk so fast. And that is something that, I don't know about that. I believe that comedy has been something that, and motivating people have been something that have been calling my connection. It's been, presenting itself in a way when people that see, oh yeah. First off, everybody, let's give DJ Butterfly Feces, for those out there, give your appreciation, and your appreciation starts from within your appreciation of yourself. So when you appreciate yourself, that is the beginning part of appreciating. And I appreciate your time as you put into this show program. I'm eating on some hot right now. I ain't gonna lie. It's a little spicy. So, here's one of the things on shows. You're not supposed to technically chew gum. It's one thing. You're not supposed to chew gum and you're not supposed to eat, right? I remember I was doing this little piece, right? A little comedy piece some years back, right? And I was chewing on some candy. I was chewing on candy as I was talking. I was smacking it and all that. And right now, I'm just swallowing something else. Spicy. The spicy sauce. Woo, it's spicy. Man. Woo! Yeah, so come on now. Mr. Butterfly Feces, if we bring in some incense.
All right, good people. Now, in case you're just joining us, where have you been? This is a cause we need to get behind. God's sake, drop what you're doing. Get over here. For the sake of everything, get involved. The homeless epidemic is sweeping the world, especially fervent here in America. I began basically as an average middle-class kid living in the beautiful suburb of McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. Spent my whole life there. I did everything there was to do. I surfed, I snowboarded and skied. You can do that up there. We have
what?
That.
You any good?
Yeah. I rode horses. Some of us like to basically make like a cowboy. Have you noticed the cowboy thing has kind of come back? We do a lot of horseback riding and trailing in good old McKinleyville.
I never really liked riding horses. I don't know. Just about riding animals. I don't like riding animals. I tried a few times when I was younger and got a little, got to be adult and rode it. And it's like, nah. It's like a mistreating animal. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable riding animals. It's something I never did. Like, I see animals. I don't know, man. Just like, I feel like animals should be free. Not, I just feel like there's more elements to animals being free, I I don't want to be around animals that I don't know well either. I look at animals like they're strangers. Like, hold on a second, man. Are we bringing that dog over here?
It's friendly.
Like, hold on. I don't know how friendly that animal feel about, you know, connecting me. I may have some sausage on. You want to bite me? You're like, oh, yeah, you smell like somebody wants to eat. Ah. I'm like, no. I mind my own, my space. I mind my space. And he or she, mind their space. All right. So, yeah, I remember this. It was some time back. I just didn't like the experience of riding animals. It's been so many years ago, but it's just something about it. You can see the animals, right? You're fed a horse a carrot.
Yeah, man, I have. And oats. I mean, I did all that up there. I was to care of the animals. You know, we did that.
Man, you see how fast the horse take that carrot, and you got to sit there to hold that carrot. He's like, oh, give another carrot. Hold on a moment. We're not going to play, you know, this two for dare with my fingers. You know, I don't want him taking my fingers. My fingers are not something that he's supposed to take off. You know, like he's saying, you know, remember back in the day, people play that game. They just call it little monkeys. You want a little monkey, two little monkeys? He better take my fingers off. That's all I'm telling you. Man, you see how he dissolves that carrot? Man, I'll give him another carrot. I'm like, this is really fun. As a kid, I was like, this is not fun. This is a safety bridge. So I need to have some kind of, you know, cover up my fingers like this. You know, like, you know, when you have these jobs at like working in the kitchen, like butchers and stuff like that, and they got these metal kind of hand guards, so you won't lose your fingers. I'm like, you gotta give me some safety guards over these fingers. I want to kick these fingers. And you're up there rocking your jaws like, all righty then. Little kid, I'm going to take every one of the little fingers. Matter of fact, I'm going to leave you a little bit up the wrist a little bit, okay? So you can have a little elegancy about your little self. When you pull down your, you know, back in the day, people used to wear a lot of sweaters. Remember back in the day? People used to wear sweaters a lot. Kids used to wear sweaters a lot. Yeah. Yeah, this guy right here.
All right, anywho, I did everything there was to do over there. I coasted through life mostly. I don't know, just, I guess I was always the average guy. I talk to people, but I was always average. And I don't know, I wanted to do something special. I had my own blog talk radio show eventually after high school when I first started coming. Running a full walk. And here's the thing, even though back then I know it's DJ Butterfly, I didn't just spin discs. I actually got on the microphone and said what was wrong with the world and all that.
Oh, my goodness.
And then what happened was, and this is the important part, I don't know if anybody was listening. I mean, I don't even know if people listen to terrestrial radio anymore, but blog talk, I don't know some of that. How do you listen to that?
Your show, you're like this kind of like guy that gets busy, and your show is just like, it's like a pop-up show. You show up today, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Like, people are like, hold on a minute. Like, someone had to just, like, just have it be on there and just find your show. Like, it's going to really, like, you got to realize when people start connecting to that, they start wanting to look for it. They start looking for something that's supposed to be a time, and your time just changed, random change. It kind of, it could agitate somebody. Like, you know, one of the things I remember as I was traveling, I was in Jacksonville, Florida, right?
Come on, Mike.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, so I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and I can't tell you a whole lot about the story because, you know, we're going through a process to create things. But this lady I met, she kept telling me, "Oh, I look like Maya," and she was like, "Well, can you call?" She kept saying, "Can you call Maya up?" And I want to talk to her because I look like her so much growing up. And I'm thinking to myself, "It's like," I told her this. I said, "Well, you have the access. I got access to you. You go on social media. you respond to her, you know, you can go on the Twitter platform. She can see your, you know, your tweets. You can go on to the social media platform and contact her. For me, what I, it's like this. I was talking to somebody a little bit earlier. Can I tell you this? I got no time to tell you this. Okay. So this is the thing. I said, it's one of the things about somebody telling you something and then making it public for others to get it. Like, anybody that come on the show, it's like you finding out as they own the show. You know, and that's the thing. Like, if she ever on the show, you find out as she's on the show. Less, unless it's something that she decided wanted to let people know she was building. I mean, because it got to be organic, you know, viewpoint of her being organically engaging, right? So it's not something that it's got to be forced, right? So when she's on the platform, or she's on this platform at the time, then you'll know what she's on here. The engagement of the experience of having somebody, it's got to be organic. It's not about, oh, find out, hey, this, like, that's one of the things that I'm not engaging with. I'm not engaging with violating space because somebody want to know something. That is their point of view. And whenever she's on the platform, it's got to be something that it's got to be organic. I got to feel the organic connection, right? Like, you, as you hear me, I don't say anything. You don't hear me say anything publicly about anything regards to my. I don't say anything on the platform because it's to me. You know, I have, you know, I came up as a child prodigy, right? So I'm always like behind the scenes and always, you know, creating things in the capacity of a natural point of view, right? So I always wanted the most organic experience that someone can have. And I don't want them to feel like it's compromised because I'm trying to look for an angle to manipulate the truth in it, right?
Right. Dang right.
Yeah, so as we go through these platforms and things come together, it's just that it's so many things that happen in people's business and their personal life. And, you know, as we coming up and seeing so many types of, you know, people and to mold into the cross-contamination of their vision because they didn't make it, right? But at the same time, I know people don't make it in so many capacities. I'm not going to force this cross-contamination on them either, right? So it's so important as I come along, go along, is to make this experience organic, right? So it's things that I'm going to have come out, and when they come out, they're going to come out, and those are going to be the, you know, the creative space of what that's created. And, you know, and that is the, you know, the experience, you know what I mean? Like the true experience. You know, as I talk and say things, I remember one day, this was years ago, I was just talking about this brand of people to some people that I thought that I, you know, but I guess we are more associates, we're not friends. So I'm just talking about random people. And when I got over to talking about a person, then it wasn't even like what he was talking about. Like, I stopped talking. Like, I wasn't speaking what I was speaking. I said, this is where I know I came too far, too long on this travel. Because when you stay in the space and try to be sincere to really show people how much you really, it becomes almost like it's neglecting when people mistreat you because you said, you know, or this happened, and people like, you're lying. And I spent too much time and capacities of all different types of things. And I'm thinking, well, how is this reflected into my life organically? How what I'm telling you, why I got to re-say what I'm saying? Why I got to re-tell them what I mean and got to be stay on the jury stand of what I experienced and, you know, have to have this kind of setting where people want to micromanage how they can actually get leverage. And this is what happens all the time. This is not a new conversation, right? People talk about all the time about how they, you know, how people take pictures of them, people spy, you know, saw a picture of, you know, if you touch you, you know, and all these kinds of things. of the things you notice about public figures, especially people that look like celebrities, right? If people that look like celebrities, oh, I apologize. DJ Bobo VCs, I just stopped you, man. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, it's 15 minutes after the hour, 9:15 here on the program. Cocooning from the microphone here. Please call in. Get involved. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. Anyway, back to my story. Long story short, you took a hold of me and took me on the road with you to help clean up the world. On the road. Anywho, there we were women all, and so far we've been in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And I was amazed by it. And I told you, the worst place for a person to be homeless is a place where it snows.
Man, the Union Station in Washington, man. Oh, my goodness. Hey, man, don't buy this. Hey, Washington, man. I'm like, man, this is come out. Could be sitting on land on, like,
it seems like every place went was different, but every place it went to was also the same. The same collection of people on the street looking alike with their makeshift tents lying there on the sidewalk and stuff. Thankfully, we weren't in a time when it was snowing, but it was still very, very cold. Anywho, I said, we're in a place where laws are being made. We got to do something about the homeless. Tell me. Remember, you told me, like what? I want to push the campaign, make the soup kitchens bigger, make sure they got more soup, make sure the homeless shelters are bigger, let them take in a few more people. This problem is getting worse.
You know, one of the things that's about feeding people is about freeing the opposition in the downfalls of life. As oppressing them, because you can give people, think about it, you give people everything they want if their mind is not conditioned to actually see the actual value in the actual gift. That can oppress them more because they want to do it for themselves. You know, these people, look at this, it's not a compliment to home people, 80, 90, disabled, all these capacities where they are tired of dementia. It's everything. This is like the flea market of all the things that disability people have and more. And it's not that you are saying things that people are not understanding. You are zapping emotional tragedies that happen to people that really make their personal space become more devastating by seeing connections, seeing people in ways that hearing vibration levels are really, you know, tuning in to things. They're daydreaming, they're imagining things. And a lot of these things, they're just trying to hold on. They're trying to hold on to these things. These things are like people, emotional attachments. And they become almost like emotional attachments, like a mannequin with clothes. And they almost like their mind always come around and dressing themselves. And pulling, these are things that people don't want to, and they talk about it so much that people are trying to hold on to the, just their sense, and it's just so much, really.
Indeed. I remember I was thinking, okay, we got to do something. We got to start a little bit of a grassroots campaign to do something. We got to basically get them to open and expand those dang, what do you call them? Soup kitchens.
House, man. And some, you know, feeding somebody things that people like. It's things that really touch people's souls. And that's really what it is. You can give somebody a little or nothing. And if it really means to connect with them, it can work their thoughts on because they look for that moment, the little bit you give them emotionally, how to fuse them, connect them to what's going on. It will be the life moment of their day or the life element moment or something that they can relate to that's been inherited in their desire. You'd be surprised what you're doing if you really look forward to it. They have all of what they need. And you can be what they really want to have in their mind and subconscious. And that would carry on to, can you imagine being somewhere where nobody you really care about, and you're emotionally unfed to the desires you care about?
advancing the picture. Like, that's the person that is actually in front of you. And you don't connect with the person like you connect with your imagination. You're so intimate with your imagination, you see the person and look over at this person, you're like, and you start being bullied with the
Indeed. And indeed. Hey. Let me tell you something. I basically was thinking about how we could do something. We have to help these people. Now, think about this. Those little makeshift shacks, those little housing pods for everybody with an organic garden grown right outside so the homes could eat natural food fresh from the earth. It's good for everybody, ain't it?
Have you stayed in one of those housing pods yourself, sir? You get people in a little tiny... Man, come on now, bro.
I think a lot of them would be happier and better off. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
No income tax, no weekly rent. People could grow. I think this is how people actually used to live many moons ago, back when they were building homes for themselves and all that.
But you're making homeless. You're making the homeless seem like that's the way you want to survive. In a way, you said it's just like you're placed with what people's desires of having homes. Having places where they truly can move around. They can invite people over that they truly want to come in and say, hey, I'm doing better now. There's some people in it. It's so selfish. It's like a person that have like a little tiny car. They're two-seaters. I mean, like, the little tiny car. Like, if you got cars that's made where you only have one person in there. Can you imagine that a car you only have, you only have one person in there? And to that person, they might not be stealthy, but like, well, I got my kid in the house. I need something for just me. And yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah, you got people that don't have a financial, this situation of being castrated from social. You know, it's like, it's people that would build them houses for themselves. They will have the houses. They don't have financial issues. Like, yeah, you want to look tiny. I want to look tiny. You know, more people that's in them houses at a point of time that don't have their problems, and they stay in them houses. Yeah, man, I want to save some money. I ain't want to buy no big ass house, hundreds of thousands of feet. I want something. Yeah, exactly what I want. They're going to sit there and terrorize the people that don't have something to say by having something that is that small and make it that, no. That you just try to decide, just give me something. And then you just try to move around you in a way that they're just trying to exterminate your any kind of social. It's like you're becoming, in the sense, it's like homeless with the protection danger zone. It's like they're emotionally castrating you even farther away where you're just trying to oh, whatever you need, whatever y'all can give me, whatever, I can get anything. That's like, people are in that mindset, and people are like, well, this is not something you're supposed to get. This is a privilege. This is a privilege you have, the least of the least. This is a privilege. So how come they don't take that and tell you that's a privilege for you to have when you know in your mind this is not, this doesn't sound right. Trying to give you something that's built like an outhouse. Built like an outhouse. People have been in places, you know, and now they and you're trying to force that. That's not my viewpoint. If someone wanted a place like that and that's really what they wanted, I don't know. I don't know if I really want that. Tiny piece of outhouse slash little shed cover room. I know it was supposed to be an idea of giving someone a place to stay.
But even then, I was the one going on saying that what he needed was No. What they all needed, as long as they had that roof and four walls, man, they were okay. They were getting by. A shelter for everybody, that's what it's all about.
I'm not selling for the ego of my own illusion. People that really need more, want more. And that more is my, you know, than people telling me, oh, but it's not, you know, I've seen too many people, I've seen too many successful moments for me to say it's about, well, and try to count out people's pennies and tell them, like, that's only relevant to someone that's listening to your message and you're getting them out of something. That's different. When you just sit there in a neutral place, a lot of things you say to help people, it's like putting weight. It's like if a person, for those that have had a perm, people think because they haven't experienced it, they don't understand. When you get a perm in the water, I mean, you can drop an eyedrop of water on your head. And guess what it feels like? It feels like pain. Pain is not freeing by people negotiation of being, you know, like, stingy. People mostly try to be stingy with giving people a peace of mind. Stingy. They think that peace of mind, it's, you know what peace of mind comes with? Do you? You don't realize that's every person's right to have a peace of mind and not look at the actual, you know, conversation people are measuring your peace of mind with a illusion of what the propaganda is set in place for bias infrastructure of finance. But at the same time, someone ain't got it, can't tell you, oh, you got all this, because they don't know all the components to that. You paying taxes on all these things. You got kids, you got to pay bills, all these things have to be maintained. And if you make 6 figures a year, if you make 5 figures a year, you're paying taxes. For most people, paying taxes. So it's things you have to maintain as you have a certain amount of money. Or you got millions of dollars in pocket, all in your pocket. They don't know you got to pay taxes on all the millions of dollars. You had $4 million in 3 years. You have to pay taxes on that money. That money wouldn't look like that in 5 years from now. $4 million would look like $4 million 5 years from now if you wouldn't sustain it. You had to keep paying taxes on that money.
Look, I knew. Well, look, I knew in a way that they were eventually gonna, you know, if we give them housing pods, all the homeless, whatever, they're gonna start finding a way to charge them money for them. They'll find a way. But it seemed like a way to do something. You know, honestly, something needed to be done. Something still needs to be done.
Yeah.
It's scientific fact of life.
I see how housing pods. If a person likes it, cool. But I'm looking at it from the point of view of, like, if this works for us, cool. We're looking for the point of view of, like, oh, you can satisfy.
All right, yeah, listen. I want to thank everyone for tuning in there and tuning in for our episode tomorrow, all right?
This is going to be the art that is okay.
All right. Thank you. And good night. Tune in. We're on the web. We're all over. Check us out. Help the homeless any way you can.